Baptist 21 is a pastor-led voice for Southern Baptists in the 21st century. The B21 podcast will discuss current issues in the SBC with Southern Baptist church leaders. To check out more resources, visit us at baptist21.com.
Nate Aiken here with the Baptist 21 podcast. We want to thank you for listening to the B21 podcast, where we want to have conversations about what it means to be Baptist in the 21st century. Today, I have with us Scott Charbonneau, who serves at one of our SBC entities, that being Guidestone. And Guidestone has been a partner to Baptist 21. And so I hope I said his name right. And Scott, just want to thank you for being on the podcast.
Nate, thank you. It's a privilege to be on with you.
Scott, tell us just a little bit about yourself. You know, where did you grow up? When did you come to know the Lord in a saving way? And then what do you do, or how did you get to Guidestone, and what do you do at Guidestone?
Yeah. I came to know the Lord at 7. I was born and raised in a Southern Baptist church here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Came to know the Lord at an early age, was very much influenced by following rules and doing things to try to earn salvation in a way. But then ultimately, it was in college when I found out the beauty of the gospel and what that means to us, that we are saved not just from our sin and death, but then also working to try to earn that. And so that's been something that's kind of changed my life, of course, as I've gone forward from that. And about that time is when I met my wife, Kelly. We've been married for 20 years. We have three kids, Keaton, 18, Kyle, 15, and Kendall is 13. So we've got a lot of things going on at home. But then in addition to that, my wife has served on staff at our church for the past 18 years in preschool ministry. I've taught adult Bible studies in that same period of time. And currently I also serve as the chairman of deacons. So a lot going on in our family, our home. And actually since then, for the past 18 years, I've served I currently serve as the managing director of insurance solutions for Guidestone. So work in the insurance area and have been at Guidestone, like I said, for about 18 years. So a lot of different roles and capacities, but able to really support the church. And that's really where my heart is from a vocational standpoint, is how can I serve and support the church through the work I do here at Guidestone?
Yeah. So it doesn't sound like you're busy at all. So tell me this. I mean, as a guy, I've grown up in the Southern Baptist Convention. When did it change from the annuity board to Guidestone?
Yeah, actually, that happened in 2004. And so I started in 2002, was with the annuity board at that time for a couple of years. And then we made that transition to Guidestone. Really, that was done such that it kind of more officially, productively met the current products and services that we offer as Guidestone. So not only offering the retirement or annuity-based products for retirement, but then also speaking to some of the investment products we have, as well as insurance, property, and casualty. And of course, at the heart of that is still our Mission Dignity Program, which supports those pastors, their widows, those who've served in ministry, in many cases at churches out in the middle of the country. They may not have a lot of finances or means during their ministry, and when they retire, in many cases, they have needs. And so we want to make sure that we as Guidestone and Southern Baptists in general are stepping in and supporting those retired workers of the gospel, those who have done the work. And so if we can come alongside them and support them through Mission Dignity, that is exactly what our heart is and our passion is and has been for, you know, since 1918.
Yeah, that's fantastic. In fact, if you're listening to this probably later on, but on the day of our recording, which is August 27th, we just released a post about Mission Dignity at Baptist 21, so make sure to check that out. Scott, I want to ask just a few more maybe background bio questions, then we'll kind of jump into the meat of trying to serve churches, thinking through particularly things like healthcare, but other things. So you went to school did you go to school as well in the Dallas area as far as college, and what university did you go to?
Sure. Yeah, I went to Texas A&M University.
So Aggie.
Went down to College Station. Yes, I'm an Aggie. 40,000 students on campus there. But really, it's a wonderful place. I don't know if you or the audience knows much about it, but huge Christian community there. Lots of wonderful churches. Huge Bible study that takes place on campus every Thursday. At the time I was there, it actually grew to the point where we actually moved it on campus to kind of the basketball arena. And so just thousands, tens of thousands of students gathering every Tuesday night to worship the Lord, but then also to have the word opened up for us and us to learn and grow. So Greg Mott, who's currently Southern Baptist pastor down in Houston, led it when I started there. And, you know, it's just a great ministry. So just a wonderful place. Enjoyed my time there at A&M.
Yeah, I've never been there. Wanted to go watch a football game there, but have heard about the both good, healthy churches in the area and then also that campus ministry. I've heard, even before I knew who Greg Mott was, had heard of that ministry. So one more question. So I guess your favorite team is the Aggies?
In college football, absolutely. I follow A&M, and who knows what this year is going to look like. At least it's still, for A&M at least, it's still on the calendar. So we'll see. Interested to see what plays out this fall.
I'm hopeful that we have. I'm almost confident. I can't be confident in anything else, but that there will be SEC football. And then are the Cowboys your favorite NFL team?
Yeah, born and raised in Dallas. Everything has been the Cowboys. And of course, at the time when I was in high school, that was when Dallas was going through the 90s, where we're just wonderful. They're really part of the 90s and the wins and Aikman and Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith. That's my childhood right there.
So I was born early 80s and in Dallas, and we were big Cowboy fans. In fact, I will share this as an anecdote. So the night that Tom Landry was fired, my twin brother and I cried. And then we moved in 92. And so, of course, we moved to North Carolina. Everybody's like, you're fair weather fans. We're like, no, I was a fan of the Cowboys when we were 1-15. And so we get to North Carolina. We win 3 Super Bowls in the matter of 4 years. So, yeah, I'm also a still suffering Cowboys fan as of right now.
We all are, and it's been very much a dry spell since then.
Absolutely. Well, so today's podcast will be a little different than we normally, you know, normally do with our podcast. So let's start here. Scott, why was Guidestone founded? You've hit on this a little bit, but why was Guidestone founded? And maybe in more particular for our audience, why should young pastors and SBC leaders be, you know, want to try to be connected to Guidestone? And why is this an important conversation today?
Sure, sure. Yeah, you know, we already spoke to it a little bit. Back in 1918, Guidestone was founded as a board of the Southern Baptist Convention. The original intent and purpose was to, once again, serve those pastors, retired pastors, widows who had served in ministry and then were needing some support during their retirement years or later years. And so that's the founding. But since then, as I mentioned, we've added a bunch of different products and services really to help prepare the pastor for that and support them in ministry today. And I think that's really one of the main things I would suggest to the audience. Guidestone's whole existence is based on serving those who serve the Lord. So as you're out there doing ministry, as you're church planting, or you have a church that you're going to that's in the middle of the country, or if it's one who that's in a city, suburban area, whatever it might be, Guidestone's here to support what you do. And so I know B21 has, you know, as a value supporting and cooperation within the denomination, that's really where we come in. We're part of that. I would also suggest that since 1965, we've done that in particular with insurance. And so that's where we offer our health and welfare and risk management programs. And so over the years, there's been a lot of different changes that have happened in insurance. I mean, it's gone all over the place. It's starting in the 90s, you know, changing once again with the passage of the ACA. It's a lot to take in. And so what I would suggest to, you know, the audience, pastors, whoever might be listening is, you're not alone in this. That's really where Guidestone comes in to support what you are doing, because we believe our heart and our passion is behind the gospel going out, reaching the lost, reaching the nations, and championing the gospel work that is going on. We view our calling, our vocation really to support those who are doing that. So we want to make sure, and I'll point this out, we do want to make sure that at the heart with insurance in particular, we're interested in well-being. I have unfortunately seen too many situations where pastors are pushing themselves beyond what is reasonable. They're stressed out. They're overwhelmed. They feel isolated. All those different things play in, and that's not just harmful to them. It's actually harmful to the ministry they're trying to conduct. We want to make sure that the pastor, staff members are healthy for the mission. And so we want to make sure they're fit to serve in those different capacities that the Lord has called them to. So that's really kind of how I kind of consider what we do here at Guidestone.
Yeah. And you're talking to a guy who, even as I've been on staff, you know, when the finances come up, when the budget comes up, even when healthcare stuff comes up, I'm usually just glazed out. But one of the things that's a conviction is that even as a pastor, you have to care for your staff. I mean, part of just shepherding the flock is not just shepherding the individual individual members, it's helping to care for the flock as, or for the staff as well. And so these are massively important topics that, you know, hopefully those that are listening in will kind of dig into and say, hey, how do I help care for my members, but also care for my staff?
Absolutely. You know, I recently I've done, one of the things I've taught through is Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 5, it gets very practical on what it looks like to walk out our faith. In verses 15 and 16 in particular, it says, you know, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil, right? And I don't think anyone would argue that the days are evil, right? We have all kinds of pressures and stresses and strains that are on everyone, in particular pastors, as the church has had to try to acclimate to doing online service and doing things that we've never done before. And so it's real easy in those times to kind of pass over those things that are core to health and well-being for those things that are urgent and pressing. And so we do want to just encourage everyone to pause and just make sure that they understand if you're sacrificing there, eventually it will come back. And so as a pastor, as a leader in your church, what can you do to make sure that you're maintaining your own health and the health of your staff members? That's ultimately what needs to happen, and so that you can then care for the church, the body. And so that's what we would absolutely encourage.
That's good. That easily leads to my next question. You've already mentioned language like well-being, but also, so we're in a COVID season, so that causes its own stresses. And then just ministry in general can lead to unhealthy practices, but also leads to some serious health issues. I mean, issues of weight management. And I know y'all have had booths set up before to do testing at the SBC, but depression, stress, even sadly lately, there's a lot of examples of pastors who have committed suicide. It is a tough and a stressful thing that pastors do. What is some advice you have for pastors, and how specifically can Guidestone serve in those areas?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's heartbreaking, really, to see some of the headlines that have come across recently. It should affect all of us. We should all feel some of the responsibility to make sure that we're taking care of each other. We're supposed to, as believers, carry each other's burdens. And so how do we do that? You know, specifically, I mean, you mentioned the wellness booth that we set up at the annual convention every year. Unfortunately, there's been too many times where someone will come through, get their wellness assessment, and we immediately have to call an ambulance because this person is on the verge of a heart attack or stroke or whatever there might be. And so I will tell you, if you look at some of the results that we have in our insurance program specifically related to Southern Baptist, we don't do a very good job of taking care of the temple that God has given us in our bodies. And so we see claims all the time for what I'll categorize as metabolic syndrome, which is high blood pressure, high blood sugar, excess body fat around the waist, and abnormal cholesterol levels. And so we see that all the time. That's a precursor for heart disease and diabetes and other huge killers. And so we as Southern Baptists need to do a better job of taking responsibility for that. So I would say this. I mean, there's a couple of things, that we should all be considering. I also don't think that you can try to change everything at once. So I would suggest that if you're someone out there who's got all those other pressures going on and so on, at least try to do a couple of lifestyle changes, habit changes over the next month or whatever you can do. And so I would suggest things like, first off, getting an understanding of where you are. If you have not visited a doctor, the reason why that is included in every plan is such that you can go get an understanding of where you are. So talk to that doctor, get your visit, your blood work done, that sort of thing. I would also encourage looking at your diet. Are you actually eating a plate of food that is colorful? Too many times we like potluck dinners, but those potluck dinners can be filled with things that are not going to actually benefit the body. Another thing would be to drink water, of course. I mean, 6 to 8 glasses of water a day is a critical thing. And I know from personal experience, I feel better when I'm drinking more water. Getting more sleep is something else I know a pastor maybe is tempted to just kind of do away with because you have all those other pressures, visiting the hospital or preparing for a sermon or whatever it might be. All those things are critical. But I would suggest that you go through the process of reverse engineering the habit that you're trying to create. And what I mean by that is, actually, a couple of years ago, I am not the most avid athlete in the world, but I actually went ahead and decided I was going to run a marathon. And what I found out is the most critical step in that process, the link that I had to make sure that I did in order for that to happen so I could train and so on and so forth, was getting in bed at 10 o'clock at night. That allowed me to wake up. That allowed me to run, that allowed me to get in shape, and actually ultimately complete that marathon. So I would suggest that as an example of some things that can our pastors and church leaders can do as they're preparing and trying to become more healthy.
That's good. I can share another anecdote there. I mean, I was unhealthy and eventually very high weight, which led to high blood pressure, other health issues, and just changed. One, try to drink a gallon of water a day, so it was more than just 6 to 8, but try to drink a significant amount of water a day, walk at least an hour, which was not, I like to lift and do other things, basketball, so I did those occasionally, but at least walk an hour a day, and then I did change my diet, unfortunately. I mean, you almost ended the interview when you were encouraging us to eat vegetables, but I think that is a good, counsel for the rest of us.
Well, hopefully nobody else has dropped off the call, but I think there's some other things we can talk about that would be of value to them too.
Yeah, and praise the Lord, I've dropped about 70 pounds, so it's been massively helpful. So just encourage them taking advantage of some of those things with you guys. Okay, so let me start with a maybe broad question and then shrink it down to a more fine question. But like, think through some hypotheticals. One, just in general for Christians, what are some things they should be considering as they select healthcare plans if they have options? And then specifically, how do you all help churches do this? And maybe just think through some categories of small church or a church plant all the way up to kind of right. a larger existing church.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when it comes to Christians in general, we don't lack for options out there, right? I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can do to obtain insurance, obtain coverage for yourself and your family. I think it is critical to first understand what those options are. So, in most cases, there could be an employer provided plan, or a spouse has a plan that you can have access to. In most cases, those would actually be cheaper than other options. If that's not the case, then you can also look at the healthcare exchanges. There are subsidies that are available. In some cases, they can actually very much reduce the cost for that. I think there was one stat that said those who received subsidies actually ended up paying an average of $87 a month for coverage. And that's now been a couple of years old, but it can be actually very much reduce the cost on a monthly basis for health coverage. There's also alternative solutions out there that I know everybody's aware of, whether that's health sharing or whatever it might be. But as a Christian, I think that you can look at those different options. But don't just look at the premium amount, the monthly amount that you would pay. The cost of the premium does not always tell the whole story. So there's copays, there's deductibles, there's prescription coverage, there's maximum amount of pocket limits. So it's really a good idea to keep in mind all those different variables as you're considering those different options. Another thing to keep in mind would be access to care. If you have a doctor, you've got a relationship, it's someone who really is a trusted advisor for your own personal health, make sure that person is involved in the plan. And if they're not, that can have a huge impact on cost. Also, there are some plans that have gatekeepers like an HMO. You may have to go through one doctor before you can actually get to a specialist. So just keep that sort of thing in mind as Christians. Now, as for churches, and you were saying breaking it down into different size churches or different maybe where you are in the church life cycle, I would suggest that there still are probably 5 key steps that you should take as you are a church considering what to do for health insurance. The first thing I would suggest is to review and select a benefit strategy. It's not enough just to say, oh, this is what I know and I'm very comfortable with that. Make sure that it fits with what you're trying to do as a ministry. So, as an example, are you going to have your pastors and staff members go find their own coverage? Well, I mean, think about that, because that does put more of the stress and the burden upon them. You could also consider doing a group plan, which would mean that you would have to form that up and then go out and get quotes for that. There's just different steps and stages that are involved with that, but it could actually ultimately be more along the lines of what you're trying to do from a strategy standpoint. Guidestone, just so everybody knows, Guidestone has plans that actually kind of fit both of those cases, and they actually also align with biblical values, and that's something that you're not going to find in the marketplace. You know, we definitely have and stand on our core beliefs when it comes to the sanctity of life or the definition of marriage and all sorts of other things that really are tied deeply into what we believe as convictions as Southern Baptists. And so just keep that in mind as you are considering your strategy. I'll just run through a couple more steps here. Second thing I would suggest is make sure that you have a plan to maximize your tax savings. There's lots of different arrangements and tools, too many to get into here this afternoon, but there's really a lot of different things that you can do to make sure that your benefit plan is meeting the needs and it's doing it in the most efficient manner. Third, we would suggest that you pick the kind of plan that fits, once again, your needs and your staff. That's the acronym soup of HMOs or PPOs or EPOs. HGHPs and so on. I mean, there's too many acronyms. And once again, you mentioned already that the pastor's eyes glaze over, and I'm not saying that your eyes are glazing over now, but there are many probably who are just like, oh my word, this is overwhelming. It's too much. I cannot emphasize enough. We are here to serve those who serve the Lord. So that is what Guidestone is here to do. So don't feel like you're alone in this at all. I'll give you the last two. Fourth is to provide benefits that are beyond just medical coverage. Make sure it's well-rounded. I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second. There are some horror stories that I've become aware of about pastors or staff members who didn't have some of those other benefits, life insurance, disability insurance, and it can have a huge impact both on the individual, the family, as well as the church body. And then finally, I'd say be aware of the advantages that are in the tool or the tools and resources in the plans that you select because they can actually aid in that wellness concept that we were just talking about. So just a lot of things to consider. Once again, you're not alone. Let us know how we can help.
And we'll get to this kind of at the end, just kind of like final steps for somebody who's listening and says, hey, I need this help. But y'all, if they call in, y'all kind of walk them through these five steps. Y'all have people that serve them in that way.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We've got consultants on staff here that can really help you diagnose what is the right option for you. And so that's exactly what we're here for.
Which also is a matter of stewardship. So you've been doing this a while, and I say this often, even just in my own life, when it came to changing health behaviors, often people will not change lifestyle or other things or even kind of explore this unless there's a tragic event or something else that kind of shakes them up. So I hate to ask it like this, but could you kind of share some horror stories with me about churches or pastors that have been underinsured? I think it might help kind of jolt people to say, well, maybe I need to think through this a little more carefully and thoughtfully.
Absolutely. There's unfortunately too many times that I've heard stories about individuals who didn't have the right kind of coverage or appropriate coverage for their needs and were kind of left in situations that were just uncomfortable on the light side and then really kind of traumatic on the bad side. So lots of different considerations here. You know, when it comes to medical insurance, for churches that have less than five employees, generally 60% don't offer any kind of coverage. And so they just basically tell the pastor, the staff member, whoever it might be, to go figure it out on their own. The problem with this is you're then putting your pastor or staff member in a situation where they're having to choose between coverage that would be appropriate to meet their need, but then or then other basic needs, whether it's putting food on the table or providing for a home that would be sufficient to meet their family's needs. So that's one of those things that we unfortunately see too often when it comes to life insurance. Really sad situation. Had a pastor who was actually doing a baptism, ended up passing away in
during
in the
baptism,
waters,
right? Wow.
During the baptism, and so left in a situation where his family, did they have the needs, the means to actually meet the needs that they had? Because he didn't have life insurance at that point, the church actually felt obligated to step in and try to provide for the family. Well, of course, the next effect is they don't then have the proper funds to go get his replacement, and so very practically, it's really pennies on the dollar to provide life insurance in particular so that the pastor's family can be well taken care of and the church can do what it needs to do to continue and maintain ministry. Another example would be disability. We had an executive administrator at a church. He was unfortunately in an accident and could not return to work. Once again, did not have any kind of disability coverage. So the church felt that obligation to financially care for that family. They did so, and they stepped in to meet the needs. And I think we all would. I mean, that is what our heart is, our compassion of the Lord would be to step in and try to meet the needs. But once again, they ended up paying that person's salary, that minister's salary for the next year. But eventually they had to replace that role. And so it kind of left that family in a difficult spot. And so very uncomfortable, difficult situations there for sure. You know, I'll give you one more. It's kind of a dental situation. Yeah. It's the youth pastor who doesn't necessarily take care of that ache in his mouth. And of course, right during the beginning of summer, when ministry is really starting to pick up, there's camps and there's retreats, whatever it might be. Ended up having a tooth problem that basically sidelined him for the remainder of the summer. So that actually has an impact. It's kind of ridiculous as that seems, that has an impact on ministry. Kids aren't able to hear the gospel in the same way that they would have otherwise. And that's exactly what we want to make sure that we're supporting the church. And we want to make sure that you're able to continue on in ministry because we believe in what the church is doing.
That's really helpful. And you kind of mentioned something that kind of gets into my next question. The metaphor in 1 Timothy 5 for providing for the pastor is to basically feed the ox, which what a metaphor. What are we calling pastors? And we talk about honoring those who labor in preaching and teaching, and they're worthy of double honor. Just speaking from your point of view, but then also from God's own, why should a church take care of their pastor? And why should healthcare be involved in that, if at all possible? And then how does Guidestone help churches think through that?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a very wonderful picture, right, of what's going on. And really, what's interesting about it is, the work that is being done by the ox, even if the ox eats everything, they're still produced beyond, right? And so it's not even that it's diminishing what's being produced. It's actually honoring the work that is being done. And we would say the same thing, right? So the value that's being derived from the pastor, the preacher, the student pastor, whoever it might be on staff, really is beyond what you could compensate them for. And so we do value that. We want to point towards that as a ministry. It's actually a very uncomfortable conversation for most pastors to have with their church. And so we want to, as the denominational entity that's supporting them through benefits and so on, we want to be able to step in and give them resources to speak to that. So we actually do have some of those things on the shelf, how to help plan and deliver benefits in an appropriate way. There's the annual church profile that comes out that actually gives details on what is average or what is seen kind of from a pastor salary and compensation standpoint. So that information is available and it can be accessed by each and every church. Now, I would also say that from my personal experience, obviously pastors, those on staff are very sacrificial by and large. They have expertise and skills beyond what their compensation would show. If they were in the workforce with that background, they would be able to bring in a lot more as far as money. But that's not the point. They're not interested in that. That they're not going to the church to make that money. They're doing it because that's what God has called them to. And so the church should not take advantage of them. The church should actually do the opposite and respect and value their commitment. So yes, a decent salary is a part of that. You asked specifically about benefits. To kind of tie into what we said earlier, retirement protects them in their later years. Health insurance keeps them from getting into huge debt from a medical situation. Life insurance and disability, I mean, it protects them and their family in case of something that might happen. So really what we see oftentimes with churches is where they're not able to offer a salary that they might want to offer, benefits is a way to actually support the pastor and protect him and his family in addition to what else they're able to do. So that's what we would suggest from a compensation standpoint.
That's great. Scott, I'll get you out of here on this question. So somebody's listening and they're thinking, okay, I really need to dig into this a little bit more. I need help in these areas. Our church needs help. What are some resources you would kind of finally commend to Guidestone? But even more than that, how do they get further connected, kind of action steps or how they could get even walk through those five steps you mentioned or even other things that you have as far as resources?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Once again, I thank you for the time and the opportunity to speak to those that are listening here. One of my main points of this entire conversation should be the pastor is not alone. You are not alone. You have support, and really it is our purpose. Our existence is here to support you in the church. We are here to serve those who serve the Lord. And so to assist Southern Baptist with health and welfare, products and services, and really just answering questions that you might have. So we do have a team of experts ready to talk to you, whether it's through that five-step process that I was mentioning earlier, or really just how you and your church can grow healthy in providing for and the benefits benefits of ministry. And so we were happy to help with that. There's really three main ways that I would suggest that you can reach, get in touch with us. One would be through our website. It's insurance.guidestone.org. There you'll find a library of resources that you can review, you can consider, you can pass it off to a committee. Whether it's elder or whether it's elder-led or whether it's, you know, some kind of committee-based system that you might have at your church, you can give them resources from Guidestone. We should be a trusted advocate for you in speaking to providing benefits. Another thing that you could do is reach out to our call center. For insurance, that's 1-844-467-4843. And we'd be happy to talk to you once again through any of these questions. That number is 1-844-467-4843. Or you can email us at insurancesolutions@guidestone.org. So, you know, many different ways to do that. My encouragement to everyone is don't be alone. Feel free to call us and we'd be happy to help.
And we're going to put some of this up on the side and even probably in the show notes so you can easily have access to that. And I'll just say as a personal note, again, I've talked about how this is not my area of really expertise at all. But I had, when I was serving at a Southern Baptist church, had insurance through Guidestone. The website, your own personal portal is very easy to maneuver. And then if there's ever issues, the people on the call line are incredibly gracious and helpful. I had my retirement in three different places and I've had to call each one. Guidestone was by far and away the most easy to navigate and the most friendly voice on the other end. And so get in touch with them. It's very easy to navigate. They're very, very helpful. I think obviously we never like calling it 1-800 numbers, but they are as good and helpful as you're going to get. So feel free to kind of reach out and take advantage of this resource that is available to Southern Baptists. Scott, anything else you'd add before we kind of sign off?
No, once again, thank you for the opportunity to jump on here. I will say this. You mentioned a little bit earlier that it your eyes glaze over. And truly, I know. I completely understand. Once again, my wife being on staff, I've got a brother who's a church planner. I get that when we talk about these sorts of things, it's easy to kind of put it aside and focus on those things that you like to do. And frankly, you've been trained for. You enjoy doing them. But these topics, preparing for retirement, taking healthy steps, for your own well-being, protecting your family, all that should not be ignored. It really speaks to, you mentioned earlier, it speaks to stewarding well, right? So what is it that God has given you? How can you be a good steward of that? And it goes for the church. You know, it's not just the individual or the pastor. You know, the church needs to not shirk their responsibilities. They need to support the pastor and the staff. In many cases, if we look externally, I'm not saying that churches are businesses, but you look at external secular businesses, the way they provide for and take care of their employees in some cases is better than what we're doing in the church. And that should not be the case. The church should be leading that out. We need to be showing them what it means to care for and have compassion and love well those who are our brothers and sisters. And so that would be my encouragement, my final thought for this as we go out.
That's great. Well, thanks, guys, for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast. Particularly on this, if there's other questions you have when it comes to opting out of Social Security or health insurance or other topics that you think would be helpful, please let us know. We do more interviews about those. And then just rate and review the podcast. Feel free to reach out to us about other topics. And we thank you for listening to the Baptist 21 podcast.